Hey, welcome back to the Rethink Podcast. We're going to pick right up where we left off last week. I've got Trey and Lisa here from our care team, and we were in the middle of a discussion about some of the things that you're seeing out there, and especially around things like boundaries and expectations that we're trying to put on other people, mm-hmm. which really we can't control. Mm-hmm. And then we have to look back, and that could be, I mean, there's people trapped in homes with violent behavior or yep. you know, emotional, physical, substance, all that kind of stuff. So let's pick up right there about responses to people when they pull our triggers, all right? Because yeah. we can't control people.
That's right.
But we also can't get away from them right now either. So
right.
So kind of pick it up there.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about how it's important that the boundaries that we set, and anytime you go to any mental health or counseling, or they're going to talk about setting boundaries, and I think people misinterpret that to mean that they're setting boundaries for other people, but that doesn't work. You
right.
can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can only set boundaries for yourself.
So give me examples of that, y'all, about setting boundaries for yourself, mm-hmm. but it has to do with other people, so
sure.
it gets yeah. a little confusing, right? Mm-hmm.
It starts with self-awareness. Okay. So when you do something that like affects me or triggers me or hurts me, like I have to know what I'm experiencing, and I have to be able to put a name on that. So I have to know like what's going through my mind. Like, why am I so triggered by what you've just said or what you've just done? What am I emotionally feeling? Because oftentimes mm-hmm. we act out of anger, but oftentimes it's sadness, right. it's fear, it's tenderness, it's hurt, it's confusion. It's not anger, but I know how to show anger, so that's what I'll mask it
yeah,
with.
That's my muscle memory. If I'm yeah. sad or afraid, that feels like weak, and I don't want to be that,
right.
so
yeah.
I power up. Right.
right. So to be able to identify, well, actually, you know what? This is a softer emotion, so if I can act in a softer way, it's going to radically change the situation. So if I can identify the way I'm maybe experiencing anger, but deep down my true core emotion is sadness, or my true core emotion right now is hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna function differently.
Okay.
Even to identify what's happening within your body. So if you start to experience the anger and that bubble, you know, it's rising up. Well, if I can identify that's going on, I also can actually start to use coping skills to like come out of my amygdala, the emotional part of my brain, back into my prefrontal cortex. Like I can start to be rational again. And that's what's so
did
important.
You follow that? Yeah. Those are big words.
Big words, but yeah, I'm picturing the brain. Yeah.
But you have to slow down though, right?
Right.
Because if you react, you're going to go with the muscle memory reaction. That's anger. But
it's about responding, not reacting.
Yeah, that 30 mm-hmm. second.
Yeah.
Am I angry or am I hurt?
But then to come into yourself,
yeah,
right? Like, what is he thinking? I can't believe he did that. Compared like, how am I reacting to this? Like, what's going on for me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Not even so much about what you just did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about setting boundaries and
that's setting boundaries with your own behavior.
Right. So the first thing is, yeah. hey, take a breath and really identify what's really going on in
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
That's step one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm not going to yell at you, but what you said was really hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do I go?
Yeah. Well, and then already you've decided if you do yell at me, you know, or, so in that case, instead of yelling at you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go away. I'm going to think this through. I'm going to think of a better way to respond rather than reacting out of emotion. Emotions are terrible leaders.
Yeah.
You should never be led by emotion.
right.
So take a break, pray about it, you know, calm yourself, get to a place where you can respond to mm-hmm. the situation.
Okay. I'm going to take a timeout right there
mm-hmm.
because you just threw out something that gets thrown away around in Christian circles all the time. Something happens, pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you praying? That God will strike them dead? Are you praying that God will give you this epiphany about, oh, here's the wise thing? So when we say pray about it,
yeah.
what do we mean by that?
What I mean by that is wisdom to get to yeah. what's going on with me. What do I need in this?
Asking God to guide your thoughts
yeah.
and bring things.
Yes.
Is that what you're?
Yes. To get away from the emotion and get to wisdom, so you can be led by wisdom
instead of
and
emotion.
Truth.
Right.
You know, I love this person.
Yeah.
I don't want to yell at him.
Right.
I don't want to fight. So, you know, wisdom.
Yeah.
That's what I'm praying for. That's what I ask people to pray for.
Yeah.
Is wisdom about what's going on inside of you, not directed outward mm-hmm. towards the other person. Make him different. Make her stop. You
right.
know. But just what's going on with me? What do I need? And what's the right response that will get me closer to getting what I need in this situation?
Now, that to me, that that's the most helpful thing that I've heard in the last few minutes, only because I throw that out all the time. You just pray through that. You pray about it, pray about it. But it's more specific going, I'm praying for wisdom and truth. Mm-hmm. You know, truth is, I love this person. Right now, I just want to hurt him.
Right.
But I don't want to hurt him, because usually when you're making up later, going, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I just wanted to make you feel what I was feeling. Right. Right? And you don't mean that.
No.
But pray for wisdom and pray for truth.
Which are two things that God promises to give us.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
He promises that he will do that. He will help us if we ask him to, and if we're open to letting him help us. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when we pray so that we want to be God, like, you know, here, God, I'm going to tell you what I want to have happen. Get that done. Make him different. Change this marriage. That won't work.
Well, there's
work.
Some things he might not have thought of. And I was going to help him out.
Right? Right? Yeah. Well, that doesn't work for me. Well, he doesn't listen to me.
No. Yeah.
I tried.
Thank God. Thank you.
And I don't need to know. God didn't put me on this earth to figure out why my husband does what he does. You know, there's no growth in that for me. And the end game for me is growth, right? And to be have as much peace and freedom on this side of heaven as I could possibly get. I'm not going to get that if I'm focusing on what Grant's doing, my husband, right?
Yeah.
And I focus on what's going on inside of me. What are the conflicts in me? What am I reacting to?
Yeah.
You know,
I think as you guys are talking, one thing, I mean, we talk about the Crucible all the time. We talk about Unknown Weekend, and a lot of those weekends are, you're doing a lot of like inward seeing of like where brokenness and hurt comes from and what that looks like.
Yeah.
At some point though, and this is a judgment that I have, is people get really stuck in like, oh, I'm going to just continue to be diving inside and inside and inside and never step out of it. So as the people are, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, because that's a judgment I have too, because it's not about looking inward.
Yeah.
It's about looking towards Christ.
Right.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I want to adjust so that, because in every situation, God is wanting to mold us and shape us. And so the question is not, what do I need or what, you know what I mean? But what am I doing that? How do I need to be shaped differently? Mm. How can this shape me so I look more like Christ?
That's great.
Right.
So taking your thought of taking the 30 seconds, taking the moment to figure out like, why am I reacting this way?
Yeah.
Once they get to that spot, how do they then take the step of like, I know where I'm at now. Now, how do they then change to readjust? You talked about this on the last podcast of like, weave through all the BS, and it's like our goal is to be centered and focused on Jesus.
Yeah.
So after they've realized, okay, here's where I'm reacting from, here's how I'm going to communicate that, then how do they realign their eyesight to be like, and here's where Jesus is taking me to this point?
Hmm. Well, it's action. You know, I think a lot of people are saying waiting. You know, speaking of addiction, I know there are a lot of people who are, they hate the consequences of their drinking, and they're waiting until they hate alcohol before they stop, and that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. Alcohol is a friend. It's a bad friend. Yeah. You got to learn how to live without it. You got to let it go. And that, so it's an adjustment, but you have to take action, and you have to do the next right thing.
Yeah.
And whether or not it feels good, whether or not it's easy, really can't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Is it right?
Yeah.
And that's where so many people get stuck, is they go, I can't really change until my spouse has changed their behavior, until they stop looking at porn, until they stop drinking, until they start treating me the way I should be treated. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't change until you've changed. And like, that's not true. You can only control yourself. That's just a justification.
Yeah. Right.
So you have to focus in on what can I do right now? And then as well as, we see a lot of times, you know, everybody has their own cycle, and a marriage conflict has its own cycle. So then once we've gotten through that cycle and things go, they normalize again, we've taken space, we just kind of try to hold the ship and brace for the next cycle to happen. Yeah. Compared to in that resting time, we actually, that's where a lot of the change happens. That's where a lot of the work does. That's where a lot of the self-reflection happens. That's where the change happens. So that next time the cycle gets triggered, you don't go through the whole thing again, because in this break, where a lot of couples just kind of go back to normalcy, they're actually, you continue working on yourself.
That's good. So for the couple that's listening right now, or the person listening right now that's in a different relationship, that's, they're not a spouse or whatever, it's going to be really easy to dive back into like normal, because it's easier. And a lot of times, like when Taylor and I are in a bad spot, it's really easy to go to like, oh, we're just going to go to what's easiest, which means we're not really connecting. We're not really doing any of that.
Right.
So for the people that are listening to this that want to change that, whether that's with their spouse, their kids, their friends, their parents, whatever, what's one good step? And we normally don't do it. And it's like, what's the next thing that we can be doing? But like, what can somebody do to fight against going the easy route and choosing what's harder? Mm-hmm. And harder, Jesus promises what's better.
Yeah.
I think what we see a lot is people reach out in crisis, yeah, where they all of a sudden realize they don't have a support system. They don't have, you know, help. I always say the one who needs to change is the one who sees the need for change. So if I'm
in... It was very Gandhi-ish.
Yeah. Thank you. When I think I read it in a fortune cookie. So there's, people get hit a crisis point. It becomes really clear what they need. They need help, right? And so they'll reach out. Well, then the crisis passes. Yeah. So follow through. Whatever you felt like you needed in that crisis, in those mm-hmm. quiet times when mm-hmm. the crisis passes, follow through. Get the support system. One thing that's really been highlighted for me through this pandemic and stay-at-home order is so important to have a support system in place before you need it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who don't have a support system and now they're at home and there's no way to get one. And that's got to be horrible, mm-hmm.
yeah.
do you know?
Mm-hmm. So I feel the same way about prepping.
I was just about to say, she's speaking to your prepper heart
right now.
I have
a basement full of food, but I had it before the pandemic. I told you so.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that out. Boy, should have gotten the support system before this happened. Yep. Now it just sucks to be you. So
right.
What? So let. There's
so
some,
now
so
you
there's
can
people,
start building it.
So how yeah. do you build in this atmosphere right now? All right. So let's say that you know you've been sober for a long time, and now here come the triggers,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And you can take a breath, and you can pray for wisdom, and go,
yeah.
okay, she said that. It really brought up this thing that had anything to do with her. So mm-hmm. now I know the wisdom and truth. But I keep drifting back to the substance that, right? Is this
yes.
like, because the world's dying and the world's, right? Right. So let's say that you're listening right now and you just had a fight with your significant other, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And you're at that place going, okay, take a breath, right?
Yeah.
Now's the time to start building that
yeah.
support system before, you know, and I this past weekend, I compared it. It's like, hey, when the game is on the line, that's not when you start practicing,
right?
Right? It's all that time.
That's right.
So now the
yes.
season's now hinging on this
yes.
moment. I've got the skill set, right?
Yeah.
So the person whose marriage is like, okay, we're not going to break up. We're going to be together.
Right.
Okay. But you can't go back to the way it was. So
right.
what can we do now if it's a marriage crisis, if it's a you and your kid crisis, if it's a substance crisis right
yeah.
now, okay, what are some resources available to some people that you could say, well, you could do this,
yeah.
So that when this all lifts, maybe you can do it face to face, or whatever that is, or
yeah.
maybe there are places you can still get together face to face. I don't know, but
yeah.
So everybody's going, okay, I want to do action.
Mm-hmm.
What action can we take right now?
Okay.
Yeah. We're still offering pastoral care, so you can still schedule a phone appointment or even a video conference appointment with us.
Yeah.
Counselors are still taking clients. You can still reach out. I think every counselor I know of has gotten a video conference thing set up, and hopefully, I think within a matter of, hopefully soon, we'll be able to be back in the office.
How would a person do that with the care ministry here at Flatirons? How would they do that?
They either email, I think it's, go on the website, the Flatirons.
Let's put that.
church.com/care, mm-hmm. and then you will reach out to our admin and just email, let her know what you need. And then we will
Do you have to get into specifics?
No.
So if I'm a dude and I'm struggling with pornography
nope.
and you just said I have to
nope.
let her know what's going on,
nope.
I'm just not going to make the call.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, many do.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah,
I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
For sure. Nope. You can just say, I need to speak to a counselor. And I want to talk to a male.
Okay.
You know, not a counselor. Sorry. We don't do ongoing. We don't do counseling through the church.
Right.
But we have a great comprehensive referral list. We put a lot
So you kind of triage and then
yep.
you point them
yep.
to here's the
yep.
person you need
yeah.
to get
yeah.
with.
And if they don't know what they need, they can talk to us and we can help them figure out next steps.
And you all do that a lot.
We do that a lot. Yeah.
All right.
We do that a lot.
Okay.
And then there are also online support. There are AA has online meetings, and we have those resources. Shift is meeting on Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Talk about
right?
Shift. Somebody doesn't know what that
so,
is.
Yeah, so it's our in the olden days we met every Friday night, and we have large group time, worship, large group time. Then we break up into issue specific and gender specific small groups, and we've been able to through Facebook. We have a Shift Facebook group for men. It's called Men of Shift and Women of Shift. Every Friday night at 7 o'clock, our worship leader, Dustin, he and his wife lead live worship for us. We follow a link. It's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Brought some normalcy and continuity at a time that's desperately needed. So we and then we go back on, either Trey or I post a video message, 10-minute long, related to recovery and the 12 steps, because it is a Christ-centered 12-step program. And then there are online issue-specific groups for men and women where you can jump on to. Most of them are Zoom, I think, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock Friday night. Their links are on the page.
And you're seeing men and women engage in these.
Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And confidentiality is, you know, in a lot of issues totally. In our life. It's
same
really protected.
Same guidelines that we have. And many of the people who are, we have a lot of people who are joining new, which is great. But a lot of the people, that's the most important thing to our team, is to keep it safe. To keep it authentic. And so, yeah, people are doing great. I belong to a couple other Facebook groups. They always, even on Facebook, just my page, spirals into ridiculous.
Conspiracy theory.
Ridiculous conversations and hate and all of that judgment. It's, you know, ridiculous. But not in that group.
Yeah,
and I'll remove a comment if it does, but it's as safe as we can possibly make it.
Mm-hmm. And this is so, as we have a lot of people listening from across the world.
Yeah.
So if you live in Iowa,
yeah,
yeah, Ames, yeah,
yeah,
or if you live in
another
country,
yeah,
you can still be a part of this,
you
right?
Can.
There's not like, do you attend a Flat Irons campus? There's
no,
nothing
it
like
doesn't.
That.
We ask two questions, and you have to answer them. There are people who are wanting to join, they're not answering the questions, so we're not letting them in. First is, how did you hear about it, this group? Second is, do you agree to follow the guidelines? That one, you got to do.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
one, you can't be in the group if you're going to, and the guidelines are about respect and trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, as long as you can show up and offer support and take support and be trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that with my groups is, it's not like I need a lot of advice. I don't even need a lot of counseling.
Yeah.
I need to know two things. I need to listen.
Yeah.
And know I'm not alone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. And nobody does that. And if we had the answers, why are we there?
Right.
You know?
Right.
If I don't know how to fix myself, I don't know how to fix you. And that's not my job. Right. We're not there to be God for each other. We're just there to support each other and point each other to the one who can help us.
Yeah.
Right. But having said that, being a believer is not a requirement.
Okay.
You just want to get well. Yeah. If you want to be well, that's the only requirement for joining.
That's great.
I always tell people when I talk about Shift, we're in Aurora, so we're way out there.
Yeah.
There's a couple people that drive up right now.
Yeah.
But Shift is the DNA of Flatirons. Mm. Shift is like, this is why we do what we do. And we have a very authentic, like, weekend worship experience.
Yeah.
But people can still walk in with a mask on. Shift is the most, like,
yeah,
people that are vulnerable and are like, I need Jesus' help more than I've ever.
Yeah.
So it's just very authentic. And so if you're looking for that, if you're looking for authenticity, if you're looking for vulnerability,
yeah,
if you're looking for a chance to take a breath and realize, like, you're not alone.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say it's kind of nobody comes to Shift unless they're desperate, mm-hmm, you know? But it's the gift of desperation, because then we really do get to connect with each other in a very deep, honest way. Is that once you do that, you know, once you have that experience of real connection and experience real acceptance, you know, then it's life changing. There's something really powerful about people who get together and they've got nothing left to lose.
Yep.
They've come to the end of themselves. Mm. There's something really powerful about that. In their greatest moment of weakness, they connect with their greatest strength, right? Mm-hmm. When I am weak, then I am strong.
Yeah.
So, somebody wise said that.
Yeah, somebody wise said that.
I'll say the help is there. The resources are there.
Yeah.
And if we can't allow ourselves to say, well, I'll get this figured out once quarantine ends. I'll get this figured out once everything goes back to normal. It's just not going back to normal.
Right.
And we have to be resolved before we know the end of the story. We have to make changes now before we know how this is going to end. And we can't wait for that.
Right.
So if you want help, the resources are there.
Yeah.
You just have to take them.
And I will say, too, that no program is, And God doesn't need any program yeah. mm-hmm. to change his people, sure. right? But sometimes we need a program to agree with him. And
people, prayer and pills.
Yeah, yeah right? exactly.
God works through all
yeah.
of that.
And it's only, and that's got to be part of a whole treatment plan that might have to include medication or counseling mm-hmm. or something, but it's not self-help. Right. That's because we can't help ourselves. Looking at ourselves and just, because I always say information is not transformation. Mm-hmm. I can know how jacked up I am. That doesn't change anything. It's what am I going to do about it? Yeah. What can I do about it? We are powerless over our sin nature and the things that we depend on apart from God, but we're never helpless. Mm-hmm. We're not helpless.
Hey, thank you all.
Yeah.
All right. So mm-hmm. I guess if I leave people with anything, it'd be like, pray for wisdom and truth.
Yeah.
And if you don't know where to look for that, you just gave us some great resources. Yeah. So get on the flatironschurch.com website mm-hmm. under care ministry, mm-hmm. Face men of shift, our Facebook groups.
Yep.
And you can get on there and apply yeah. for that. But yeah. the place to start probably just call the church and get all the information or email the church.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you're out of state, then they're focus on the family offers Christian counseling and psychologytoday.com. You go on there, you can, there's a filter that you can input to find, faith-based counsel in your area.
Great. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Awesome.